Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest, one of our favorite guests I've here on the show, been joining the show for years, esteemed and award-winning Boston Globe columnist Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, good morning.
What's up, DA?
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's so interesting because after having moved out of Boston, I still have so many friends in Boston. And a few of them were telling me it's unlike any time in Patriots lore before history because people, at least some, have started to turn on Tom Brady. There's a sour taste in some Patriots fans' mouths this offseason that was never there before when it came to Tom Brady. Are you sensing that as well, and why specifically is that?
I think there's a little of that, DA. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of noise around that team, you know, for the last year and a half, and I mean, what we need to preface everything is by saying I don't think any of it impacts too much of them getting where they want to go. Given the caliber of competition in the AFC East and the conference, I think they're back in the AFC Championship. So they're going to, you know, win their 11, 12, 13 games, you know, get the first round bye, second round home game, boom, see how they can do. That goes on unless Brady gets hurt. Independent of that, I think all the noise we're hearing is true, that there is trouble at the top, coach, owner, quarterback. You know, anger about that Garoppolo had to be dealt because Brady, you know, stomped his feet about that. Brady not showing up for OTAs, kind of thumbing his nose at it. You know, it's just been, and, you know, the whole TB12 message with the subliminal messages here and there, Tom versus time and not feeling appreciated. And, you know, maybe I won't be playing forever after saying he would play forever and they trade Garoppolo. So, those sort of things, you know, some of the football hardcore hardliners are not as happy with him. But you know how it'll go, DA. Once the game starts and he's slinging it up there and they're killing the Bills, Dolphins, and Jets, it'll all be good here again.
Do you think that Tom Brady's relationship right now with Bill Belichick is as weak maybe as it's ever been?
I find that believable, only it's a lot of years. You're talking 18, 19 years in here. And the little hints that were sent there, I mean, he's sitting with Jim Gray, that stooge, and it's like, do you feel appreciated? And it's like, well, that's a hard question. You know, well, it's not a hard question. It's a yes or no question. And he really wants us to think that there's trouble there. And then he doesn't show up for OTAs. And you can go, his track record on that is his own quotes come back to bite him. Like, this is what good teams do. These are important, blah, blah, blah. Well, why aren't they important now? I mean, I thought that's what good teams did and good teammates did and all that. So I don't think it'll make that much difference. But I think from the emotional standpoint and the hard feelings part of this, those things do exist. I think you've got a coach who's angry that he had to trade Garoppolo because he identified the next guy. And I think he takes pride in that. And Tom basically outlived the succession plan, which was good for the Patriots and good for the short term. Might not be good for the long term, but right now they're still benefiting off that. But I think that the owner got involved and took the side of the player. And here we are. But it's an unusual year in Patriot land because, as you say, it was starting off here, it's not all harmony in the Patriot way. And they're different from everybody else, and they're just going to come back and crush you, and they're all together in it.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, joining us this morning on the show. You've covered Tom Brady's duration of his career. Do you see you're always down in Foxborough, you're always talking to him on Wednesdays at his press conferences, you're talking to players, you're talking to coaches. Have you witnessed and observed a change in Brady towards the tail end of his career where he's not the same guy that he used to be?
Well, I'm not in there as much, anywhere near as much as I used to be because it's not rewarded. I mean, we go down there. You worked here long enough to know you go down there and it's not, it's like covering the Pentagon. But to that point, so a lot of what we see, a lot of what we get these days, DA, when they do the press conferences, it's boilerplate and people do their thing. And Tom's careful with his words always. It's the social media, it's the Instagrams, it's the Tom versus time. It's the paid interviews with Jim Gray, all this stuff out there where the little truths seep in. And then Bill gets his shots in. If you remember when Brady had the cut hand and he played the playoff game
sure.
with the stitches? And Bill finally was like, it's not like he had open heart surgery, you know, and I think that that's the kind of – everybody kind of gets their little digs in there in their own way. And there's still – D.A., I mean, you know the fans in this region – That Malcolm Butler thing, that'll never be right. And the fact that Belichick wouldn't explain it, there's fans, it's kind of a you're either on Team Tom or Team Bill right now. And the Team Tom guys were like, hey, until he explains why Butler didn't play, he cost Tom a Super Bowl. He cost us a Super Bowl. We don't like him anymore. We got that going on too.
Yeah. Do you believe that the Patriots would take trade offers for Gronk up until the start of the season?
I don't think it would help him this year, but I think that, again, the mentality of the coach and the player tells me that nothing's off the table there. I think that's where the line is. The line's between Brady and Gronk, and I don't think the coach can trade Brady or could trade Brady, but I don't think the owner would ever allow that, and that's where the Garoppolo thing went down the way it did, I believe. Gronk's a different story because I think they see the shelf life on him as another year or two anyway, and the behavior – and him kind of thumbing his nose. And there's the whole Alex Guerrero, the nefarious trainer guy that now Gronk has aligned himself with, and Gronk not showing up at OTAs. And I don't know whether it's about money or his health or what have you, but we all know they'll never get value for him compared to what they have with him. So they got a chance to win a Super Bowl or two before it's over here. I think they keep him. But we could wake up tomorrow and they traded his butt out of here, and it wouldn't be a big surprise.
Dan Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, joins us on the show. Feels like the steam of Kawhi Leonard and the Celtics being involved in trade talks has had some of that taken out of the sails, but it's hard to know what's reality and what's not. Do you think that Danny Ainge is continually trying to fish for Kawhi, or do you think the price was too high and Danny said, I like my team, we're just going to go full steam ahead?
Well, Danny's a big, bold thinker. He loves talent. He's a great evaluator, and he will do what he thinks is best for his team. He also has the luxury of the fallback now, which is, you know, plan B. You just cited there, D.A., which is to do nothing, is to get Haywood and Irving back to a team that was, you know, within one quarter of getting to the NBA Finals and just saw LeBron James leave the conference. I mean, if they do nothing, they are prohibitive frontrunners to get to the NBA Finals. But if they bring in Leonard... Yeah, if the pieces are right, you don't have to give up Brown or Tatum, but I don't see how we can do that. So I think once you get into the Brown-Tatum thing, that conversation stops, and San Antonio's got to get a lot back.
Would then next offseason, if they did not trade for him, do you think that Danny would angle for him as a free agent? Does he have his desires with Anthony Davis? Is he still looking for another huge talent to add to this roster? Or do you think Danny believes this team as presently constituted could be good enough to take down the Warriors to win a title?
I think he loves his team as it is, but he will do things. I mean, he was the only one traded when the Celtics had Bird, Parrish, McHale, DJ, and Ainge. The only one they traded was Danny Ainge. I mean, they held on to those guys too long, and it hurt the franchise. So Danny has first-hand experience because he was the guy who got sent out when they wouldn't trade the others. He's not emotional about this. He can be Belichick-like in that he will be a little bit bloodless about improving his team. So I wouldn't rule anything out, but there's a lot to like. I just cannot see them trading Tatum. I mean, you know, hey, if you're getting into the brow, that's a whole nother category, I suppose. You gotta think about anything then. But I really don't think he wants to trade Tatum or Brown. I think he's very strongly wants to keep them. If you can figure out a way to get those kinds of talents without moving those guys, that's another story.
How about Kyrie Irving, though? Because he's not committed long-term. You never know what he's thinking. Maybe he doesn't even mind playing for a winner. Maybe he wants to play for just a team where he can be the man, maybe the Knicks, maybe somewhere else. Do you think that Kyrie has a long-term future in Boston?
Yeah, that's a really good question because, you know, he hasn't committed beyond next year. Why would he? You hold your options open. You see how things play out. There's always the notion that these Jersey guys have this mecca idea that Madison Square Garden is the place you got to go to be a basketball guy, even though no one does that anymore. But he's a weird guy. I mean, he's a contrarian. You know, he thinks the earth is flat, all this sort of stuff. So I don't blame him for not committing. What you say about him wanting to be his team, that could get into it. I think he probably wasn't in love with the notion that there was any kind of flirtation about LeBron coming to Boston. So, yeah, I think that we'll see how it plays out. for three quarters of a year, D.A., he was as good as we've seen. And now he's coming back with Gordon Hayward. And again, LeBron out of the conference. So it's good to see. But beyond next year, things could look different. It's the NBA 2018.
Final question is about the Red Sox. Do you think, or what do you think they feel they need to do to make sure they stave off the Yankees and avoid that one-game playoff down the stretch? Will they make a trade over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, they're not really well positioned for that because the farm system's empty and they're up against the luxury tax threshold. But they're pitching. It's weird. They're 68-30, and they're at a little bit of a issue because Rodriguez, who's 11-2, just went down. I don't know that they can count on him. Pomerantz and Wright are already down, so they're really down to like three steady starters and then fill-in guys. And like you say, someone's going to win 105 and then go to a one-game playoff. They don't want it to be them. They got a 4.5-game lead. I just think the Yankees are better positioned to do something bigger at the break. But this thing's going to be interesting, D.A. They play the Yankees 10 more times. Their schedule is going to be easy. They're going to win another 100 in a row after the break. They got Detroit, Minnesota, Baltimore. And then it starts to toughen up for Boston, and we'll see if that thing gets tight in September.
Dan Shaughnessy, follow him on Twitter, @Dan_Shaughnessy, Boston Globe, author of Curse of the Bambino, award-winning writer for not only that book, as I mentioned, but the Boston Globe as well. Always love having him drop by the show and join us. Dano, it's always good, man. Thanks so much for carving out time for us today.
Thanks, DA. Take care, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.